The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in here on the Still Just Fishing Show. Got Captain Chris Nichols in here with me this morning.
Good morning.
And looking like it's going to be maybe a pretty weekend. I was talking to Chris here off the air and didn't hear about the rain chance. Is there a big rain chance? There is for today. How about tomorrow? Another one?
All week long, up to about a 70% chance.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, now, see, if we don't like the weather, we can just blame Alan. Instead of Tim, Alan's set up there on the hot seat. Look out. Look out.
But you know how that rain is around here. It rains 10 minutes and it's gone, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I hope that's probably what it is because, you know, I get to work a couple of days here. I've been staying up there at the hospital all week with my wife. So hopefully I get back to work here. And, you know, now that I'm going to, you're telling me it's going to rain. Anyway, we're looking at today on the marine forecast, west-southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming south-southwest in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3 feet, and, of course, chance of thunderstorms and slight chance of showers, it says on here. I don't get that, a chance of thunderstorms and a slight chance of shower. Isn't a shower a thunderstorm? A thunderstorm a shower?
Pretty much. all of them have had heat in them lately.
Yeah. Oh, there was some last night. I know it's flashing like crazy out of the hospital window there.
Oh, yeah. It was violent last night.
And then tomorrow they're saying southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming southeast 10 to 15 knots, and, of course, showers and thunderstorms. But looking at our tides also, we have this morning you had a 5:02 high tide, and these are Mayport times now. And low tide set this morning at 11:05 a.m. It's 0.2. And then tomorrow's high tide is 6 o'clock, 4.6. And then low tide is 11:58, might as well say 12 o'clock. And that's a 0.2 also. So, you know, pretty good tides there as far as like throwing lures in the morning and, you know, then going after some reds up in the shallows and all that.
Take those tides with a grain of salt. The other day it was still smoking out, going outbound like 2 hours after it was supposed to be low tide. So
yeah, what day did y'all go? Was that a
Wednesday?
Yeah, so you had a minus tide that day too. You know, you had a little bit higher high tide, which was a 5.2, and then you had a minus 0.2 low tide. So yeah, you have more you know, more current than like you would this weekend with a 4.6 high tide and a 0.2 low tide.
Yeah, we had current.
Quite a bit of difference.
We were running away from the current.
Were you?
Yeah.
How'd y'all do?
We did. We had our usual summer friends, you know, that show up. Ladyfish, a buddy of mine came by. He had a nice big trout at the round, you know, somewhere bumping 20 inches. We got ladyfish, mangrove, snapper, and jacks, you know, the three stooges of the summer.
Yeah.
You know, that you run into. Beautiful, the mangrove snapper. That was one of my favorite fish. They are just so pretty.
They are. And the mangrove snapper, was he a keeper?
No. No, it's
because there has been some around, you know.
Yeah, in this one area I fish, you can burn up an entire well of live shrimp on 9 5/8 inch mangrove snapper.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, it's a lot of times you get in there. Of course, sometimes now, for those you out there listening to, I like to use small mud minnows for the mangroves. Seem like you catch bigger ones with small mud minnows, and I don't know why, but they're a little harder to catch, you know, with that, because, you know, the live shrimp, you can kind of pinch the tails off and make the shrimp a little smaller, but with a mud minnow, you're not going to be able to do that very good.
Here we've been talking about the shrimp coming in,
mm-hmm.
but last week we had a croaker crush a a small finger mullet. Then this you know, trip, we had, you know, the mangrove snapper crushing mud minnows.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we caught them. I think they were both live shrimp and mud. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not real picky on the eating anything live, and they will they'll hammer it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I hadn't been able to fish, you know, this week because my wife's in the hospital, and hopefully she's going to go home today. That way, I get to sleep in a bed instead of a chair next to the bed.
Yeah, y'all had a rough spot. We've been praying for you and Yvonne and the whole family, because it's a, you know, when one is down like that, the rest of the team has to bear the burden too.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, she's doing a lot better. So they talked about her going home yesterday, and then, you know, one of the doctors said no, they keep her overnight, and the other one said that she could go home. So so we're looking at probably today. You know, I get through here at radio station, I'm going to go down there and hopefully pick her up and take her home. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then there was a trout meeting this week, which unfortunately I didn't get to go.
Neither did I.
And, you know, I was really wanting to go to that. So Captain Chip Winger is going to call us later on around 7 o'clock hour, tell us what happened there and everything. So that's going to be good. We get some good information from that. So anyway, look forward to that. If you stay tuned in during the 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I'll be anxious to hear the minutes from that.
Yeah, meeting. I will too. Mm-hmm.
Where they held it?
I think it was Jacksonville University over off of Maryland, you know, where we went
where
the shark.
We went for the shark thing.
I think that's where it was. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't advertise one here in Jacksonville, but then from what I understand, I think it was for, like, they just wanted people to tell them who was coming, you know, or something. I don't know really the particulars about it.
That's a good venue for doing that.
Yeah, and of all things, Chip told me, I think he told me there was only four guides that showed up.
Huh.
And we have all these guides here in Jacksonville talking about, you know, people not wanting to keep big trout and this and that. And then you have a meeting about it, and then,
yeah,
you know, they don't show up. So, and of course, I didn't show up either, you know. So I really wanted to be there. But unfortunately, when you got a loved one in the hospital, you kind of have to, you know, try to take care of that, because she was so sick the other day, she just couldn't, you know. I did most of the, you know, calling the nurses and pain pills and, you know, antibiotics and stuff like that. Because, I know the nurses get busy and everything, but sometimes, you know, when you get supposed to get medicine every 6 hours, it needs to be every 6 hours, not 6.5 to 7 hours, you know. Try to keep that stuff in your system. But
I don't like
to leave somebody in the hospital like that, you know.
I know. Yeah. I try to avoid them if all possible. I've been pretty good at that. Where did you find out about the info on the meeting?
Actually, I had made a post on my Facebook page about it, and then started getting some comments on it, like, you know, it's a shame there's not a meeting and all that stuff, you know, here in Jacksonville, because I know they advertised 3 meetings across the state, all the way from South Florida to the West Coast. And I think they did it in the areas where they had more or where the trout was in more of a, I would say, a problem areas or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then somebody texted me, I forget who it was, and said that, there is a meeting here in town, and, you know, but you have to let them know how many people's coming, let them know if you're coming or not. And I was, you know, so they would have room. So I don't know. So it's one of those things where I would sure love to have been there. But anyway, maybe we can get some information in a little while, see what's going on, and see what their proposals are and things like that.
Yeah, I'd like to know where Chip got the word on it. I didn't hear a thing until I talked to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish here that, you know, we always think, well, you know, that we don't want more regulations and stuff like that. But I think there's some fish that are, you know, in some dire need of having some, you know, improvements, I should say.
Yep.
You know,
flounder will probably be next.
Well, the flounder is one of the things that, you know, I'm really kind of concerned about, because, you know, that they're so small, you know, the limit. Yeah. 222-8255 is the number to call. Give us a call. We'll be back after this.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600. Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and, you know, speaking of fish and limits and stuff, one of the limits is I don't understand. It's a shrimping limit. You know, you can go catch
5 gallon
bucket per person on the shoreline, but if you take two or three guys with you and you go out and fish in a boat and shrimp in a boat, I mean, it's 5 gallons per boat. Hmm. And that was always kind of threw me. Why not, you know, have 5 gallons per person on a boat?
Yeah.
It's, I don't understand that. But anyway, they've been catching some pretty nice shrimp. I don't know if you've been seeing some of the pictures, but
yeah, I did.
They've
yeah,
actually gotten some tiger shrimp. I've noticed several people's been catching tiger shrimp mixed in with them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll show you some pictures on my phone here that, you know, people are getting. Cause you're still in Facebook jail, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm incarcerated.
Can you even see?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You I can see everything. Oh, okay.
You just can't
like
comment.
If you post something about, you know, and I try to like it, they'll say, can't do that.
Yeah. So many more days left or whatever. Yeah. Does it tell you how long till you're free from jail?
Yeah, they keep count. Huh. Yeah, I think it's just
because I'm amazing to me.
Because I'm a conservative. Yeah, that's I'm a habitual conservative offender.
Facebook commies.
Yeah. Well, that's like I was watching, you know, TV the other night, you know, the news the other night about how, you know, the protesters were outside of Mitch McConnell's house. And, you know, they were posted it on Facebook Live and posted on Twitter and all that stuff. Yeah. And then he goes and turns around and posted on Twitter and they block him.
Exactly.
And I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. You know, it's okay for them. Uh-huh. I just, it,
Oh, it's the same old double standard stuff.
Blows my mind. Just blows my
mind. It's okay for me, but not for you.
Yeah. Let's get John on this morning. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, all right, Mr. John. Nooney, how you been, man?
Too much fun.
Still out there cleaning it up, though.
Somebody's got to do it.
You still out there cleaning the areas up, though, I see.
Yeah, Victor, then trying to throw a little fish at it. I'm just going to go out this morning. But anyway, you know, I just wanted to weigh in a little bit on this last thing that you were just talking about. I kind of caught the show a little bit late. But, you know, going forward with all these different meetings, you know, the ultimate place to have a meeting is at a Waterways Commission meeting. And then also, you know, for the notice, you know, I know you guys are on that list, but, you know, there are ways to get out the message that there's a meeting and start to have hundreds of people showing up instead of just inviting a couple of people.
Well, the problem with it is on the Waterways meetings at 9 or 9:30 in the morning, and there's no way. There is no way people can make it.
Well, you know, and that is true. I mean,
we don't have the job like you do, John.
It's always,
if we had a job like, I can't go to the ramp and park the boat and say, I'll be back in 2 hours, y'all.
but unfortunately, Vic, this is the direction, you know, that's going to be guiding our policies, and that's just the decisions will be made just by a few people. And this is also being highlighted on a different example, but, you know, it's like with the short-term vacation rentals. You know, I went to a meeting, and when that first came out, you had the places were packed because it will impact, you know, different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing is going with fisheries and areas that you're going to be allowed to fish and not fish. And you've been highlighting it, you know, for years. Captain Vic, I'm telling you, you know, you're the cheerleader with this, and you really have, in my book, have hit a home run with this stuff. But,
I think a lot of people are tired of hearing me talk about it, though.
But at the same time, when these things start getting implemented, you know, they're going to be really crying. And
You know, we got a lot of areas open back up where, you know, these commercial docks were just closing it down at their whim. And luckily, you know, we had Commander Robert Butts with the Coast Guard, and you know, he was on our side, and of course, Hank Holbrook, the attorney, was on our side, and we got a lot of those areas just opened back up when they told him, you can't just arbitrarily close the spot down, you know. And I understand having military close zones, and I respect those, and that is great. I'm all for our military, and if they want to close an area down, that's great. But if you got, you know, just some commercial dock downtown or something, and they just don't want you to fish around it, that's just pathetic. So that's why we fought that. But yeah, it's gotten to the point, you know, to where they know when to have these meetings, you know. And I mean, if they were to have a meeting at night, I don't know if you'd still have that many more show up or something, you know. But like a Waterways, you know, a Waterways meeting should not be at 9:30 in the morning, you know.
Well, and even then, the representation on Waterways, you know, they used to have it on the agendas when you had the various reports. You're right, from Coast Guard, FWC. You know, but you don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
And so anyway, and then two, they change the agendas. You know, what you think is going to be on there isn't on there. And then you get guests that just kind of show up. There's just a lot of variables, and there's just dozens of examples of this. But anyway, you know, that meeting, you know, it's just unfortunate. I had no idea about it. And there are those different ways, Jacksonville Ramp Watch. You've got the, you know, right now there's the City of Jacksonville Facebook page. Heck, even JU, UNF, I mean, heck, they could have reached out. The Riverkeeper, I mean, there's dozens and dozens.
Well, I don't think the Riverkeeper cares about any fishery meeting. You know, that's one of the things. Now, they're at the Waterways meeting, but I don't think they care anything. I don't think I've ever seen them at a fishery meeting, matter of fact. Because they don't care whether there's fish in the river or not. I mean, the Riverkeeper, they're just, you know, they do have their own agenda. And I can understand what their agenda is and why they have it. But yeah, John, I mean, as far as having these meetings during the daytime like that, there's just no way people can make it to it. You know, we just don't have that type of job where we can just break off for an hour or two and go to a meeting and go back to work, you know, when you have a boat out in the water and stuff like that. But I wish that they would start having these at night. Now, I kind of fault myself. I kind of take the blame, I feel like, for not letting people know about these, because I have been, especially this year, I've been failing to go read my newsletters and things like that I get on email about these different things, because, of course, I had my wife had her hip replaced April 1st, and then 2 weeks later, my daughter had her surgery. And then July the 16th, my wife went in to have her vertebrae removed and rods and screws put in her back. And then all the antibiotics made her sick. They gave her for not having an infection. So, you know, had to call rescue the other night. She's been in the hospital all this week. And, of course, I've been up there with her and stuff. So, you know, usually I try to keep people informed on this radio show about these things, I've not been able to do that, you know, for a few months now, and I fault myself for that. But I want people to understand, you can always go to myfwc.com, that's myfwc.com, and you can sign up for their newsletters and their notifications and their news, you know. And they'll actually put you on a list, and you'll receive the newsletters. You can do the same thing with the South Atlantic Marine Fishery Council. And that way for the offshore fishermen can get, you know, their newsletters, from that also. And, like you're talking about the city, you can get, you know, get on the Waterways Commission. You know, you can start getting the notices from there like you do, John, you know.
Well, there's a big mailing list for that, and and anyway, this upcoming Waterways Commission meeting has been canceled, and it's been pushed back later in August, and I think it's because they had the budget hearings. But you're right, Vic. You know, with FWC and, you know, with all the fishermen out there, and especially with Southeast Atlantic, you know, those are just different regions, and. But I just get back just to locally, and that's where it's kind of been, you know, the concentration, if you will. And I just tell people, I just feel like we're not getting more access. We're only going to be getting less. And, we're really at a critical point right now where I'd be scared to death if you have little almost invite onlys. And that's where the policy is going to come from. Instead of having at least the opportunity to get more people, and even if you email, email's the biggest key. You know, the phone calls really, in a way, almost don't count. Well, they help. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you really want to establish that public record that you did reach out, and that's always there, and that's huge. But anyway. I hope I'll have a fishing report for you the next time I call in. And
that'd be great.
I just don't want to get beat up with all the stuff that's happening, and rather just hear all the fishing reports and everybody, you know, with their tight lines and screaming rails and just, you know, filling up the coolers.
Well, as always, John, we appreciate it. I see your post about, you know, how much you clean up these areas and stuff, and that you do such a great thing.
Yeah, he does.
You know, for our area, you really do.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. But what's more amazing is how fast it returns.
Oh, I know.
That's what's really been an experience. Okay, guys, have a great weekend, and all the best to your wife.
Yeah. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Thanks appreciate for the call, your call. John.
Bye, Chris.
And 222-8255, give us a call, and we shall be back after this.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell is positioning himself as President Trump's wingman as they both run for re-election in 2020. The Senate Majority Leader has quickly become a high-profile object of partisan scorn. McConnell was heckled last weekend at his home state's annual fancy farm political picnic, and protesters outside his Louisville house hurled so many profanities that Twitter temporarily shut down his account for posting video of them online. Families of those killed when a gunman opened fire at an El Paso Walmart are gathering at funerals on each side of the U.S.-Mexico border to remember the lives lost. The 22 people killed ranged in age from 15 to 90. They included citizens of Mexico and the United States. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow gave up 90 points to close out the week at 26,287. The NASDAQ was down by 80. This is SRN News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're MediShare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many MediShare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, August 16th at 7:30 p.m., it's country superstar Brad Paisley with Brad Paisley Tour 2019 at Daly's Place. Saturday, August 17th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, invites you to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Wednesday Bible Q&A with fellowship meal. They're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in the heart of Mandarin, just 1 mile south of I-295.
Hi, everybody. It is your morning show host, Ed Dean, along with my man, Roger Henderson. Mornings from 6 to 9 on Talk Radio WBOB. It is the weekend. Enjoy it, but we're going to be ready to go back Monday morning. Local news publications like the Times Union, the Orlando Sentinels, Roger, circulation on print and digital is going down.
The people aren't buying the old traditional papers anymore. They're going digital, especially if they can get immediate information.
Support your local publications and your local radio like here, Monday morning, 6 a.m. on Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Good chance of rain all weekend through next weekend, with up to about a 70% chance of rain as the week progresses. Daytime highs with partly sunny skies into the upper 90s. Heat index into the lower 100s, 102. Nighttime lows with partly cloudy skies around 78.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And
yeah, it was great, John, calling in. He's he's a great bell ringer for, you know, letting us know about stuff like that. And he's, like you said, he's been fishing. I've been seeing the pictures of him fishing out stuff out of the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other day he had a load of tires.
I don't think his kayak could tow that timber that Ted and I saw.
Yeah, see,
that's why I won't run up on a plane at dark. It's just can't see that stuff.
When we had those extreme higher tides, you know, I say extreme. They haven't been really extreme, but they've been higher than normal. Anyway, they wash other stuff off the bank. Like John was talking about, you know, that it just reoccurs. Or what happens is, you know, a lot of times when you have normal high tides and you have this stuff that's been pushed way up there, you know, on a higher tide.
Yep.
And it sits there on the bank. And then when you have a higher than normal high tide because of the moon phase, you know, it'll wash it off and then it'll pop up somewhere else on the
river. It'll refloat,
you know,
for sure.
And you know, for a while after the hurricane, you know, we saw a lot of that stuff floating. I mean, we saw about a 10 by 15 foot dock floating, you know, down the river. And so, I mean, stuff like that at night, you know, some of those things where you have just a beam or like you're talking about a piling or something. Mm-hmm. If you got a little chop on the river, you can't see it.
No.
And, I fished last Sunday and, you know, we was going on, the guy goes, look at that board, you know, and I just passed the board.
Yeah.
And me, be honest with you, I'm steady watching in front of that boat.
Yep.
And, you know, we didn't see it till it got right there beside the boat because of the chop on the water. That was the weekend where we had the nor'easter start pulling back in again.
Yeah, talking about refloating, do you remember that old wooden hull derelict that used to be over there at Sisters Creek for years?
Mm-hmm.
Then it, like, busted loose from the dock.
Yeah.
And remember, just like you were saying, on the higher tides, she'd start getting sucked up into Sisters Creek toward, you know, heading north. Every time you see her, she's on a different shoal or mud bank.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it would just refloat. Every time we got a super high tide, that thing would – they finally towed it out of there.
Yeah.
It was an old black-hulled –
yeah,
wooden motor sailor, I think.
It's you know, it's a hazard navigation, so I mean it needs to be taken out when it's like that. You know, you used to, whenever, you know, I was fishing, I mean, I've pulled out pilings that are huge. Of course, it takes you a while, but I would, you know, take the anchor rope and take it loose from the anchor and wrap it around the thing and pull it back to the boat ramp. And, you know, me and a buddy of mine that was fishing or whatever, we try to drag it up into the boat ramp and, you know, roll it off to the side there. But depending on where you find that thing, gosh, it takes you sometime an hour to get back, because you're not going to pull it back on plane.
Yeah. We had, when we come up to the dock the other day, we had a commercial vessel in there tying up most of the floating dock, and that really bothered me again. I was too busy running the boat, and we had a storm coming at us, so Ted was doing the let me go fetch the, you know, the trailer. And
yeah.
So anyway, you know, I kept looking at this guy, and he was tying up most of the deep side. The problem with the Arlington Road ramp is that one side, the south side of it, is barely deep enough to launch. The north side of it's really bad. I mean, unless you got a jet ski, you really don't want to try to get in and out of there unless it's a really high tide.
Yeah.
So this commercial vessel was tying up the dock, and it just made it really hard. Ted being disabled, it's hard to get him on and off the boat.
Yeah.
So we had a very little small area that we could get into, and somebody made a post. I made a post on Ramp Watch one time and of a little dock building barge and Derek and that, you know, sitting all up there. And Captain Jim made me aware that, you know, hey, that's a public dock. Commercial rigs aren't supposed to be tied up
right
on our public docks. And that's exactly what Ted and I ran into. And if Ted got hurt getting off my boat on that dock, I was going to go off on the guy, because I mean, you know, I was like, if we can do this, you know, I don't want to be, you know. But he was just sitting in there. Storm was coming. All he did was put up his windows and hang out in the air conditioning of this aluminum commercial cabin that he had on this commercial rig. So I was gonna get a little spun up and get a little more vocal if Ted had gotten hurt trying to get him off in the little area that we were in. Because it was low tide, I couldn't use the north side of the of the ramp.
These docks aren't built for commercial, bigger commercial boats to just be tied up to it.
Yeah.
for that length of time. I think that's what happened to Lions Club.
Yeah.
They had that barge tied up to that, what was that, fishing, that little fishing pier?
Mm-hmm.
And tore it up, you know, had a storm come through.
Yeah. Now, even on a single engine, I can crab my boat sideways. I've just been running it so long. Even on a single outboard, I can crab her sideways and parallel park her. And, you know, if there's any room at all, I can get in there. But, I mean, this thing was taking up the entire side. So all we had was the very tip of the ramp, the tip of the floating dock, rather, which is not even the waterline length of my boat. So very, very small area to get off, and I was really kind of worried about trying to, you know, I was trying to get Ted off there where next to a piling where he can grab hold of it.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of steady yourself a lot better. I also see FWC Commission approved increasing the recreational limit minimum size of short fin makos. They increased it up to 83-inch fork length, effective January 1st, 2020. So that's that will be the, like I say, the short fin mako. And so if people are out targeting them or whatever as far as keeping in, the minimum recreational size is 83 inches.
Well, they only taste like swordfish. Why would anybody want to target a mako?
Yeah, really. You know, the nose and all on a mako, those things look wicked.
Oh, they are.
Oh, yeah. They just look so wicked.
Yeah, somebody, I saw somewhere, somebody called it referred to it as a mackerel shark, and they said that it's smoother. It's not that real rough sandpaper. I've never, unfortunately, you know,
I've never
had
one
up next to the boat, but they're beautiful fish. And
every shark I've ever touched has been, you know, smooth going to the tail, rough going to the head, you know, the skin. And so I've never noticed that because I've never been able to touch a mako, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think Nathan's place at the beach, his restaurant, has a big, monstrous, beautiful mako mount up on the wall. That is a gorgeous fish.
Yeah. That'd be kind of neat to catch one. I've never caught one either, but I understand they rock it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Out of the water pretty good, you know. But 83-inch is a pretty good-sized shark to be putting in your boat.
Yeah, especially mako. There's agile in there.
Yeah.
They're just like, their mouth just brims with teeth. You can see them.
Like you say, you need a bigger boat. Yeah. I'll tell you what, because some of these sharks, like a bull shark, I don't even like, if he's a 3-foot bull shark, those things are just mean.
They are.
You know, and I just don't like them. You know, you can take a nurse shark or bonnet head or, you know, even some of the like smaller black fin, stuff like that, and they're not near as mean. And when the black fin can kind of, all of them can get you if you let them, you know, but that bull shark, them things are just mean.
And it amazes me how strong they are. You try to hold them still, hold them down on the deck. And at least a bonnet's got that convenient carrying handle, I call it. You know, that little notch up there behind his bonnet, you can kind of put your hand around that and then work the hook loose from it.
Yeah.
But they are strong,
but
man.
But you have to kind of, when you get a pretty good shark like that, I mean, to me, the best way to do it is, you know, once you get him in the boat, straddle him like you would a crocodile or alligator, you know, and hold his head down until he's tired, you know, just... It's like any, you know, any of the sharks, they just go ballistic. And you get that dry boat.
Straddle them. You need to read in Tread Barta's book, The Best and Worst of Tread Barta. You need to read the story, the chapter that says the one that beat me about a 900-pound mako that almost ripped the transom out of there, Bertram.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you, you know, having sharks like that, I mean, you know, they're fun to catch. Oh, my gosh, they're so fun, especially spinner sharks. But I have grabbed a hold of a bonnet head one time, picked him up out of the water, you know, like the little convenient area you're talking about right there.
Convenient carrying handle.
And that thing decided, it was about 4.5 foot long. That thing decided to flip his tail, and he caught me in the wrong place, buddy. I mean, I let go of him and doubled over.
He made a statement.
He did. 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun, but at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning.
They were talking a little bit of batteries offline.
Yeah.
You could ask Leon. He's had them all, right? Hadn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think Leon's had every brand of battery there is, including the $1,000 each ones.
Yeah, I'd go to him and ask him. I think he's done what could constitute a valid product eval on a lot of them.
Well, and I kind of thought these absorbed glass mat interstate batteries are going to last me a long time, but I'm having some problem with them now again. So
yeah,
and when you got a GPS like that, and you know, I think when you have weak battery, the thing would be sitting there, and all of a sudden it'll get beep and turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I even have that when I'm like looking for reds, and I'm cruising in the creek after I've used it for a mm-hmm. little while. And see, I got this stealth charger, which charges them as you're running.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, they've been off the charger all day.
That's really nice feature.
So I'm concerned about that, you know. And so anyway, having those things, I'm going to have to probably look and see. You know, I mean, I'm still using it. I still, you know, it works great, especially in the morning time, you know.
And, yeah.
I mean, I could sit like, you know, fishing for bull reds, I can sit there 2 or 3 hours and it'd be okay, you know. And then you get up in the creeks, and then all of a sudden you'll see that, you know, sometimes it, you know, must be having one weak one or something. But, you know, and of course, when you have a weak battery like that, you don't want to turn around just buy one.
No.
You know, to replace it. You want to, you know, get all of them the same age in there. So, anyway, I'm going to talk to Matt this week, you know, Total Motor Service Plus, and, you know, I had a friend of mine told me to, you know, try these others, and I've tried them, and, you know, so I don't know.
Hey, remember when we had dinner last week, and after dinner, we walked over to AutoZone, and I bought mm-hmm. that LED festoon-style bulb,
yeah,
the one water, perfect.
Oh, good.
As soon as I got my new plug-in light for the little Pathfinder, the little skiff, you know, I was got the plug-in nav lights are not fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I plugged that as soon as I went over to West Marine, called, said, your product's in, come get it. I went over, got it, and as soon as I got it home, I opened it up,
mm-hmm.
put that bulb in there, and I was a little concerned because I was first plugging it in the afternoon light, you know, mm-hmm. but I could still see it pretty good. But that morning, you know, when it was you know, that later that evening when it got fully dark, it's plenty bright.
Oh, good.
So I was, you know, here I wound
up. You had a 10-watt bulb in it.
Had a 10-watt incandescent.
And then you put a 1-watt
LED
in it.
And it was plenty bright.
Plenty bright.
Yeah.
You think it's just as bright or brighter than
that? I think it's just as bright. The spec on that is 2 nautical mile visibility.
Right.
And I know you can see it for 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's plenty bright.
Yeah.
It just, you can't tell it in the daytime.
Right.
Yeah. You know, incandescence, I think it's just an incandescent thing. When an incandescent bulb comes on in the daytime, it looks brighter by day. But at night, the LED was plenty bright. So mm-hmm. I know that little plug-in bow light is good to go. Plus, it's taller.
So can you imagine having a 10-watt LED in
there? Oh, that's going to be, I'm going to need to put my...
And see, I always thought the LEDs ran cooler.
Mm-hmm. They're supposed to.
I've got that little flashlight. I don't know, it's 7 inches long or so.
Mm-hmm.
I told my wife, you know, when you get older, you want to be able to see good, you know. So my old Maglite flashlight, you know, has the, where you put 3 batteries in it, you know. 3 D-cell batteries, and I've had it for years and years, and it does great. But I like to watch live PD on TV,
mm-hmm.
and those guys got some bright flashlights.
Oh, yeah.
And they're small. So my wife had got me one for Christmas, and you've seen it, you know. And when you turn that thing on, I mean, you cannot look at
the
light.
Yeah.
You just cannot look. It's so bright, you cannot look at it. And and of course, at night, man, you can see anything with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it heats up too. I mean, it does.
They do.
They do get warm.
Yeah.
You know? And, I forget what's in it. It's like, I don't know, 2 short batteries. I don't know what voltage or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the 9 volts. They're round, but, they're not like the, AAA or AA's. They're fat and short.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, you put those 2 batteries in there and that LED light, I mean, even in the daytime, you can shine that thing. I mean, amazing how bright it is.
My Surefire tactical flashlight, it mm-hmm. even says on the very end of it, it says, you know, caution, hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets hot.
And my bicycle, mm-hmm. my bicycle light is about three times brighter than my Surefire tactical light.
Oh, really?
And it's actually the front hood of the bike light is finned for heat dissipation.
And is it LED?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Surefire is probably 230 lumens. The bike light is like over 600.
Oh, yeah.
And it will heat up, but it lights up the entire backyard.
Yeah, I tell you, those LED lights they've come out with, this is just amazing to me. And like you say, having that 1 watt compared to the regular 10 watt light and then being the same, you know, brightness of it, I mean, you just can't beat that. They are more expensive. You know, we saw in the other day after we had dinner, we saw where you had, I think you get two in a pack of the regular lights for like $237 or $249 or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas the one LED was $10 or something,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
But I think if you buy a nav light, the two nav lights I saw mm-hmm. were just the product itself was approaching $100 mm-hmm. just for the two, you know, for the two nav lights.
Yeah.
Separate port and start because they were LED.
Mm-hmm.
But here I bought an incandescent plug-in and upgraded the actual bulb
right.
to an LED. And I got, you know, a nav light set up, you know, for about a third, you know, about a mm-hmm. third of the cost. So,
yeah. So, like I say, is, you know, a lot of people might be out there listening, might be thinking it's, you know, it's not that big of a deal or whatever. And they'd go ahead and spend you know, the cheaper money to get two bulbs in a pack compared to the one. But I tell you, as you get older, you really want to see stuff, and you really want as bright as you can get it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned. And the LED is like, you know, 100,000 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
They're amazing, you know, as far as how long they're going to last. So even at that, right there, it's worth it, you know, because that's something that you probably won't ever have to replace again.
Well, with my all around on the big boat now, I relocated the nav lights to the T-top.
Mm-hmm.
So between the nav and the all around, all three nav lights, you know, the boat now looks probably like a tugboat coming down the channel.
Yeah. So, you know, look at the, if y'all have to replace any of your bulbs, your navigation lights on your boat, you know, look at those differences, like I say, because you're going to have a big change or a big difference. I know they're more expensive, but as long as they last, I mean, they can probably last you, you know, from now on mm-hmm. compared to, you know, having to change the bulbs again.
And wattage is everything. When you look at high yeah. wattage, that's heat mm-hmm. that equates to heat and draining the battery.
Yeah.
So you need to keep wattage in consideration with every electronic mm-hmm. product that you do buy.
Yeah, and then people think the wattage is the brightness, but it is the luminums, it's the
lumens,
the brightness of it. You know, that's what you want to look at as far as brightness. I mean, I looked at flashlights here while you were looking at those bulbs, and I mean, you had anywhere between 250 lumens for a flashlight, you know, it's talking about real bright at 250. And then you had some 600s in there. Mm-hmm. One, it was like 850. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, well, they call it the 250 bright. 222-8255. Give us a call. Love to hear from you.